Greetings in Jesus' name this morning. It's good to be here. A number of months ago now, Delbert Schrock was here and shared a message. And that evening after the message, after the service, Delbert's and us ended up back at Carl's for the evening. And Delbert gave me an assignment there to preach a message on a like-minded brotherhood. They're having ordination this weekend. They were planning to have it back April, 20th or something like that, and that got postponed. So I was working on that message, and we went to Detroit March 8th, and which would be the last Sunday we had service here. And I shared that message that morning, and it was so good that Scott came all the way from Detroit this morning to hear it again. I shared this message Friday night, and now I want to bring it to us here. A like-minded brotherhood. Romans 15:5. I'm going to do something a little bit different this morning. Often you would say, we'll read the passage, and then we'll go down through and comment on it. This morning I want to try to get us thinking in the right direction and ready to read the passage, and then kind of have the scriptures, rather than reading the passage and then trying to drive home a point, I want to get us ready and then let the scriptures themselves drive home the point. So bear with me this morning. I'm trying not to give you too many details, but trying to give you enough to be helpful. So the two verses that Delbert gave me were Romans 15:5 and Philippians 2:2. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded, one toward another according to Christ Jesus. And Philippians 2:2, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Now, these two verses use this, the meaning of these two words. I went to the Greek, and again, I don't want to put too much emphasis on the Greek. I think we need to be careful to know how it's used to gain meaning, but also I think it does help us. So this is the word that's used. I'll let you pronounce it as you see fit. But to exercise the mind, i.e., okay, now this is, I'm getting ahead of myself. As the word that is used, the word like-minded, the way it's used here in Romans 15 and Philippians 2:2, this word that is used is to exercise the mind, to think, i.e. entertain. You know, you entertain a thought, you meditate. Entertain or have a sentiment or opinion. By implication, to be disposed more or less earnestly in a certain direction, to interest oneself in, set the affection on. And I've got some dots in there. There's some other big words in there that I tried to get this down to where it would make. This is from Strong's. Try to get this down to where it would be interesting or make sense to us as much as possible. But I get the idea here that as I'm looking towards this, that our mind is toward something. Now that could be used a couple of different ways. It could be that we all have our mind toward the same thing. But I believe it also it's also accurate to say it's the idea of having our mind towards each other. So when I think of Calvary Chapel, is my mind toward the people of Calvary Chapel, or do I feel, our goal here is to have our minds to be towards each other in this. There's going to be disagreements. There's going to be things we see differently. But in those differences, are we determined to, we start with, okay, we're in this together, now let's look at the issue. Or do we look at the issue and say, well, if you can agree with me on this, then we'll be in this together. And I think a good illustration here is a husband and wife, when there's no marriage where the husband and wife don't have disagreements. But I hope we don't come to those discussions with the idea, okay, now this just came up, let's talk about this, and if we can come to an agreement, we'll stay together. We come with the idea, you know what, we're in this together, we know that, now let's see how we can work this out together. So having our minds towards each other. And then this word, this like-minded, is also used in Philippians 2:20. And this here, in this verse, Paul is talking about Timotheus. He said, I want to send him to you so he can be a blessing to you. And he says, for I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. And this word just simply means of a similar spirit. I don't have anybody like he is. So that's a different way that the word like-minded is used. I also went to the dictionary. And like-mindedness. The definition for like-mindedness in the dictionary is sharing the same opinions, sharing the same or similar views, opinions, tastes, values, or outlook. Synonyms to this are in agreement, concurring, compatible, in accord, of one mind. Antonyms or opposites would be disagreement, discord, dislike, hatred, incompatibility. And then another word I looked at is unity. And I'm going to give you a little trivia here. How many times is the word unity in the Bible? Somebody, you're probably, unless you know, you're probably not going to be right, but just give it a guess. At least once. Okay, where at? The unity of the Spirit, okay. Correct. It's more than once. Two, three. You're on it. Three times in the entire scriptures, once in the Old Testament, and we're pretty familiar with this one, I think. Behold how, Psalm 133:1. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And then two times in Ephesians 4, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God into a perfect man, into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. This word is interesting. I feel like I learned something looking at this word. Oneness, figuratively would be unanimity. We know the word unanimous. So when something is unanimous, it's all the same. But unity There's a number of different ways. I went to the dictionary. This is the only, what's here is the only thing that the Strong's has to say about this. But in the dictionary, there's a number of different meanings for unity. One is condition of being one. The state or condition of being one. So you have a unit. So we have an apple. An apple is a unit. It's one apple. So that's one. I am a unit. Ray is a unit. We're all individual units at Calvary Chapel. Number two, combination into one. The combining or joining of separate things or entities to form one. So if I take 100 apples and put them in a basket, I might have I don't know if that would make a half bushel or a bushel, whatever it might be. But now I have a basket of apples. Now that is the unit that we're talking about. Even though there's individuals in there, it becomes a unit. That would describe unity. Number three, something whole. Something whole or complete formed by combining or joining separate things or entities. Any of you that work in the trailer factories know you run units. How many units did you get out today? Well, that's a whole bunch of men working together, taking all manner of different pieces and parts, putting it in together, and you send a unit out the door. A camper is a unit. So, that is something whole. Until it's ready to ship, you wouldn't be able to call it a unit. It's missing something. There's something not assembled yet. Number four is harmony. Harmony of opinion, interest, or feeling. And number five, singleness. Among individuals, singleness or constancy among individuals or groups. So, unity in a group would be a singleness, a combined, whatever you want to call it, a combined vision, a combined goal, a combined thought, whatever it might be. Synonyms would be agreement, harmony, accord, unison, union, concord, and unanimity. An antonym would be disarray. When you have disarray, you don't have a unit. If you have a bushel of apples and you dump them on the ground, you still have the same quantity, but you don't have a unit anymore. They're spread out, you need to reassemble them before you would call that a unit. Okay, now I have another word that we want to look at. And I think you say it, excuse me, hamathumadon. That's my best effort at pronunciation. And this is from a compound of the base, and now stick with me here, this matters. From a compound of the base of 3674 and 2372. Those are the numbers in the Strong's that you would find these other two words. This means unanimously with one mind. And the base of those two words that are put together, 3674 and 2372, the first one is at the same place or time. It's together. We are all here together this morning. We're here at the same place and the same time. The second word is passion, as if breathing hard, fierceness, indignation, wrath. Now, when that word is used by itself, those are the way it's interpreted, fierceness, indignation, wrath. But when you put these together, you have what? Somebody want to guess what word, what this is translated, this hamathumadon, what is this when we read it in the Bible? No. Good guess, but no. With one mind. What was the secret of the power of the church in Acts? This word is used numerous times in the book of Acts. With one accord. So now, I'm going to do a little exercise this morning. I took a number of passages, or a number of individual verses, and, boy, it's so whited out, you better to tell, but it says, with one accord. Each of these says, with one accord. And what I've done is I've taken on my copy, and I've changed that to passionately, no, together, passionately. So that would be the literal rendition. Together, passionately. And I'm wanting us to get a picture here of how one a like-minded brotherhood and unity and togetherness works. So, when we read it like that, it sounds like this. Acts 1:14. These all continued together, passionately, in prayer and supplication, with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. 2 verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all together, passionately, in one place. You can't have passion and half-heartedness. You can't have passion and less than all. Acts 2 verse 46. And they, continuing daily, together, passionately, in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God, together, passionately, and said, Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. Chapter 5, verse 12. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all together, passionately, in Solomon's porch. 7:57. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him together, passionately. Now this was a negative scene. This is where the mob came and stoned Stephen. But they were together passionately in that situation. Acts 8 verse 6. The people together passionately gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Acts 12:20, and Herod was highly displeased with them of Tyre and Sidon. But they came together passionately to him, and having made Blastus the king's chamberlain their friend, desired peace, because their country was nourished by the king's country. There's a lot of these, but I just wanted us to really get the sense of what it means to be in one accord. It means to be together passionately, together with a passion, together on purpose, committed. 15:25, it seemed good unto us, being assembled together passionately, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul. 18:12, and when Galileo was a deputy of Achaia, the Jews made insurrection together passionately against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat. You know, there's a lot of together passionately going on in our cities in America right now. And I want to say something about that, not because I have the answers, but I think one thing that we as Christians are called to do is try to learn and try to understand. I've been all over the board on how I feel about this. I don't care if the man was black, white, or purple. To have someone kneeling on his neck calmly with his hands in his pockets, completely unconcerned about the individual as a human, that's wrong. So that's one side of the thing. On the other side, is every grievance that's being aired truly to do with color and truly, you know, systemic racism and all that? We can have all kinds of feelings and emotions and whatever come up about this. I feel we need to be extremely careful when we comment on these issues. We need to be extremely careful that we don't just say, well, we know how it is. None of us, I think, have ever been black in America. Now, we may have known some. We maybe have heard different stories and different opinions and whatever. But we don't know what it's like. You just don't. We can't. We can seek to understand. We can seek to empathize. We can seek to... Now, when I say right wrongs, I don't mean... I'm not suggesting that we need to go back and pay them for the days of slavery. That's not what I mean. But when maybe helping them understand, helping or being willing to learn and understand them, making an effort. But again, especially, I think we need to be, and again, in my last message I talked about social media and how it's so easy to hear things and believe things and share things that we don't even know if we believe or agree with. Let's be really, really careful what we say and how we say it. I just think we need to be really, really careful in these situations to be careful. No matter what someone's acting like, they may be throwing a brick through a storefront, and that's wrong. There's just no way to say it's not. But that doesn't make him less human and less in need of love and of a Savior. So let's just be really careful on our our attitude in this whole thing. And again, seek to learn and to understand as much as we can. Okay, I believe I'm ready for Acts 19:29. And the whole city was filled with confusion. And having caught Gaius and Aristarchus, men of Macedonia, Paul's companions and travel, they rushed together passionately into the theater. And Romans 15:6. This is Paul's prayer for us. That ye may together passionately with one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So putting this all together, we want to be a people whose mind is towards each other, who are of a similar spirit, and are together passionately. So let's turn to Romans 15. Now I've made a lot of my comments, and now I can just simply read the scripture and let them speak to you as the Spirit speaks to you. Romans 15, 1 through 6. I'm going to read there, and then we're going to go to Philippians. Romans 15, 1 through 6. I'm just seeing that I actually have another passage here in Romans, and maybe I should be reading these in another order. Let me see how this fits together. Okay, we'll go ahead and read Romans 15:1. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. And I guess I just want to, let's just let the Spirit speak to us, speak to me. Again this week, I've just been challenged as I'm thinking, as I'm meditating, as I read, as I listen to a message or whatever. It is so easy for us. We are in the enlightened age. We have untold amounts of information at our fingertips. We can get just about anything you want. You can at least get somebody's opinion on it, whether it's accurate or not. You can Google it and have an answer just instantly. And I know that it's been true for me, and I know it's been true for some of people I've heard in conversation, whatever. This is something that's been on my mind, so I've been noticing it. But it's easy for us to turn on a podcast and listen to a message, and we don't see ourselves as the student. We see ourselves as the evaluator. I wonder if this guy, this guy's teaching on Romans. I'm going to listen to him, see what he thinks, see if he's right or not. Well, that's pretty much a waste of time. If I'm not there to learn, if I'm only there to evaluate, unless I'm doing a study or research or something that really matters concerning this individual, but I've just been trying to make an effort in my own life. When I read the scriptures, that means we have to be extra careful who we're listening to. But when we listen, come to learn, and even in an argument, and a discussion, we'll say that sounds better. I've seen and experienced where if you disagree with me, then we just won't talk about it. Well, okay, I can kind of see your point. Okay, but I'm not going to change my mind, and I'm not asking you to change yours. Now, there are some things that that's okay with, but I think in a healthy relationship, a healthy marriage, a healthy congregation, we share ideas, and I'm willing to have my mind changed, and I'm willing to forcefully share my opinion, hoping to change your mind, and neither one of us is offended or threatened by that. None of us, if we're honest, well, maybe if we're honest, we would say we don't have blind spots. But none of us would say, no, I understand everything perfectly. I don't have anything to learn. None of us would come out and say that. But do I go into conversation with that? Do I live that way? I don't really think there's that much left for me to learn. Now, I could tell you a few things. Are we always learning and ready to learn? Now, that doesn't mean being gullible. It doesn't mean being foolish. But opening ourselves to having our minds changed and persisting in conversation when there are differences of opinion until we actually see a change in each other. Iron actually sharpening iron, not just staying apart so that no sparks fly. I think there's some health in being able to disagree strongly and yet continue to communicate and work on issues together, passionately. So, as we read this, let's look at myself, you look at yourself, and let's see, is there something here? Is this me? Where am I not doing this? How can I let the Lord speak to me this morning? We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. So, put those two verses in a nutshell. I'm going to be okay with people. I'm not going to please myself. I'm going to work on pleasing him to build him up. For even Christ pleased not himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another, according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now we're going to go, keep your fingers there. We're going to be coming back to Romans 14. That's what I was looking at a little bit ago. But we're going to come back to Romans 14 in a little bit. But let's go to Philippians 1. Philippians 1, verse 27. And again, this is Paul speaking to the church and saying, you know, this is what I would have you to do. This is what Christ is calling us to be. And it says, only let your conversation, that would be your lifestyle, style, what you do, how you live. So Philippians 1:27, only let your conversation, only let your, the way you go about your daily life, only let that be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, as it fits. So let your lifestyle be fitting for the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else I be absent, I may hear of your affairs. And this is what he hopes to hear of them, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together. That sounds like together passionately. Striving together for the faith of the gospel. And I'll go to chapter 2, Philippians 2, verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. I'm not going to do this to get back at you, and I'm not going to do it to make myself look good. Nothing done through strife or vainglory. But, and I wonder if any of us has ever truly done this, in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Do I esteem everyone in this room better than me? Do you feel everyone in this room is better than you? Let each esteem other better than themselves. Verse 4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. That completely invalidates the phrase, you do you. You do what suits you, I do what suits me, and we get along. No, that's not brotherhood, that's not unity, and that's not together with a passion. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Be interested in others' lives and be concerned how my life affects theirs. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And we've shared this before here, but we're going to notice the steps that Christ took in becoming. He went from being God in heaven to being a criminal on a cross in the eyes of the world. And those steps that he took, verse 6, who, being in the form of God, so that was his, that's where he started, that's where he was, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Now, when you're God, you have a reputation. God often told Moses, and he told the children of Israel, I'm doing this for my name's sake. I'm doing this so that your children will remember me. Make a monument so that you can remind your children. Rahab told the spies, she said, we've heard what your God did at the Red Sea. We've heard what your God has done for you, and we are afraid. God cares about his reputation. God is not humble. Christ on earth was humble. God is not humble. God often brags about himself in the scriptures. But Christ took upon him the form of a servant. Okay, first, made himself of no reputation. He took upon him the form of a servant. So now he went from being God to, and hear me right, he was God the entire time. But these are the steps that he took upon himself. He made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant. So angels are servants to God, but they are still superior to man. So we have him going from being God to no reputation. You know what? I'm not going to demand that people look at me as God. And then he became a servant. So now you can say he was equal with the angels. And was made in the likeness of men. So there's the next step. Not only a servant, not an angel, but a man. Made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled himself, lowered himself, became obedient unto death. And not only just any death, even the death of the cross. So Christ went from being God to a servant, to a man, to a man who would die, to a man who would die on the cross. Where do I stop in the steps to being humble? Well, I'll go this far, but I've got my limits. Christ went all the way. And he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And then we have the result of that. Wherefore, God also, because of this, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Don't just know things. Put it to work. Put it to practice. Live this life. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputings. There's another reality check for me. Do I do everything without murmuring and without disputing? And then the result of that is 15 and 16. If we live like this, if we as a congregation have this attitude and work this out in our own lives with fear and trembling, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. That word, I don't think I've ever noticed that or thought of that word picture, holding forth the word of life. So, when I hold something forth, it's the first thing, if you were to come to me and I'm holding it forth, it's the first thing you're going to come to. If I'm hiding it behind my back, that's not the case. But if I'm holding forth something, that's the first thing you're going to encounter when you come to me. Do we as a congregation, if someone experiences Calvary Chapel, is the first thing they encounter the word of life? Are we life-giving? Do we lift up those around us? Holding forth the word of God. The word of life. Okay, now back to Romans 14, and I'm almost done. Romans 14, verse 16. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. Things with that you can use to build each other up. Now, I'm going to try something here this morning, and hopefully it's going to play, but this is an idea, this is an example of working together. You can't see the men very good there. I suppose they're thin and fat, short and tall. I know they're short and tall, and I'll show you that in the next video. But which way are they all walking? They're all going with the barn, right? Or the barn's going with them, however you want to say that. But there's something, and I really feel like the Lord gave me this. This just popped up this week. I wasn't looking for it. And I really felt like it was just very fitting for the message. But I want you to notice, when you get to the back of the barn, I don't know how good you can see it, but there are a number of men hanging onto that back wall and walking backwards. Right there, you can see their toes. They're doing it different than the other guy is. I had to think of the phrase, dude, you're doing it wrong. But they're contributing. Now if they're facing that way and pushing, then there's a problem. But if they have found that they can contribute best by hanging on and backing up, then that's okay. As long as they are still contributing to the project, and as long as they are working to help and contribute and be there. Now, one more. What happens when this happens? This is like a 4.5 minute video, I think, and this is they've arrived at the destination here. And they've got some people here telling them, I was really surprised, there's no foundation, maybe it was just temporarily there until they could get it ready for where they're putting it. But you see, the ones in front had to stop moving pretty well. The ones in the back are swinging this thing around. And it's amazing. That was actually in the video. I didn't do that. And I don't want to go through that again. I was going to show you. Maybe some of you noticed. I think it was in the first clip. In the doorway, the small doorway over here, there were two men. And one was this much taller than the other one. And there was a board across there for them to carry. And the short man was holding it like this, which seemed like it would have been an easier way to carry it. He's walking more freely than the other man. But because the other one is so much taller, he's holding on like this. And it looks very clumsy and hard for him to walk. And you can see him, he does this, and then he tries this. And he could have said, you know what, you bring the board up here where I can hold it and I'll help. I'm not working with this condition. And the little guy could have said, well, then I won't help. But they said, no, you know what, this is the situation. We're going to help however we can. So that was another thing that I thought was neat to see in this. So, wrapping this up. Nope, now I went too far. Right there. A like-minded brotherhood. Highlights, things I want us to make sure that we see. Standing fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, shining as lights in the world. Holding forth the word of life. And that makes us a people whose mind is towards each other. A people who are of a similar spirit. And a people who are together passionately. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this congregation. Thank you for my brothers and sisters. I pray, Lord, that you would grant us the wherewithal, the desire, the joy of working together, of being passionate towards each other. We have differences. We have things we need to work through anytime, really. But that we would start with the premise that we're together in this and then work on things. I pray your blessing on each one. I pray we'd go from here encouraged. I pray, Lord, that your name would be made great and that you would be glorified. And that we would shine as a light in a perverse nation. Guide and direct us. I pray for those that are sick, those that aren't here. A number of reasons people aren't here today. I just pray you'd be with them. Give us guidance and strength during these times of uncertainty. Thank you. We bless you. And we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.